with my fellow committee members, Kate Kroller and Cynthia De Las Trinas Johnson. Let's go ahead and get started on the agenda with item 1A.
Okay. Councilmember Soil, Tony Cullerton, Deputy Finance Director. And I wanted to come before you this evening to share an opportunity with the Finance and Governance Committee that the finance team would like to explore. So specifically, we're interested in confirming that the City of Tukwila is receiving all sales tax revenue that city is entitled to. And so this is a question because, well, for one, we have a fiduciary responsibility to ensure that we are collecting all revenues due to the city. Additionally, there are some potential challenges with the addressing in Tukwila. So for example, Tukwila shares 3 zip codes with neighboring cities, and Tukwila's location code is very similar to Seattle's, 1726 versus 1729, which may be resulting in some misallocated sales tax revenues, which could be going to neighboring jurisdictions. Another example could be a mix-up with the U.S. postal codes or annexation changes. And so we would like to contract with a company called Azavar Governmental Solutions. And Azavar is an organization that provides tax recovery services, geo-tracking location type activity. They do this for a variety of taxes, for tax revenues that we're familiar with. So utility tax, telecommunication tax, sales franchise fees, hotel, motel, those kinds of taxes. But for right now, we're primarily focused on concentrating on the sales tax. And so as of our matches up address list provided by the city, and they also compare to Department of Revenue, and then they utilize some geocoding technology to identify businesses that are coded incorrectly or coded to other jurisdictions. And then they proceed to collect on 6 months retroactive missing tax revenue. I think it's 6 months only because that's what the code allows. They also correct the coding errors so there's accurate remittance on a going forward. So Azavar does this work on a contingent basis, and they share in the revenues of the new taxes collected. So they would receive 40% of the new revenues they identified and collected for 36 months. And so this is what I'm sharing with you right now is for informational purposes only, but we wanted to bring this to your attention as we're going into this budget cycle. And we just want you to know that we're taking a hard look at our revenue streams right now. And so this is one area that we're considering. So with that, I'd like to just open it up for comment or questions.
Sure. So as I said, because this is an informational item, once kind of Councilmember Crawler gets to a place, I would just like to preserve an opportunity for her to give comment. But Councilmember De Las Trinas Johnson, questions or comments?
Oh, there's Kate. I guess I'm just wondering what would it take for our staff to do the work itself? Because I see the catch here is that if there is to be found that there are revenues that we are, I guess, missing out on, the company that we would work with that is doing this research would share that revenue with us for 36 months. You know, that's their interest in this project. But my question is really, you know, why do we have internally the capacity and the capability to do that work ourselves?
Good question. And to be honest with you, Finance Director Carlson, I think, had that expectation and asked that of us. But due to capacity priorities, We just did not get to it. And now here we are trying to move forward with an implementation, a year-end report to do. I will let Director Carlson chime in. I want to just say this, and I'm going to stop talking. When we hear this direction coming from council, I'm not saying it's more authoritative than the director, but it does realign priorities. I will just stop there and let Director Carlson speak a little bit. But she did bring this up.
Yeah, thank you. This particular project has been my work plan since I became the finance director almost 3 years ago. To me, it's very, very important that we make sure that all revenues that are due to us are actually coming to us and not going to another entity. We have tried multiple times to do this in-house because I'll be very honest, you know, 40% for 36 months, I'm choking over that one. That seems a bit extreme. But at the end of the day, as frequently as we have tried to get this project off the ground ourselves, it is not easy to get to the data. That's the biggest challenge because we get summary data through a particular tool that you can't export the data, you can't work with it. So there's a lot of manual work to do. And it's just, it takes a significant amount of time because there is no easy way to get to this data to do the analysis. I even thought at one point, well, can't we just take the list of businesses that have business licenses in Tukwila and match that up against who we are receiving tax from just to see is there any mismatches there? And even that, we just don't have the tools in-house to do it, bottom line. So this is a way of being able to finally answer that question that has been asked for a long time, and we just need to answer the question. And I will say there's no cost to the contract, so it is truly contingent. They could do a lot of work and find nothing, and they receive no payment. So it is truly only on new revenue that comes into the city.
Thank you. I don't have any other questions.
Councilmember Crowley.
Just quickly, what amount of money and revenues do we think we might procure through this process? I'm just trying to, and how much does it cost for the consulting?
I'm sorry, you cut off the very last part.
Her last part of the question was related to what you just covered, which is 40% is a cost for the consultant to do the work if they find something. If they don't, then it's no cost to us.
Correct. And it's not a cost so much as we would get 60% of any new revenue found. They would keep 40%, I guess, for lack of a better word, as a finder's fee for 36 months.
Right.
And I have tried to do this anecdotally myself, and I have not found any big holes. So I would be really surprised if they found a significant amount of money out there. But again, the question has been asked multiple times, and this is a way to finally answer that question.
All right. So we have no estimate whatsoever about what we might find?
Unfortunately, no.
Have you compared other cities and what kind of fortune they've had with this vendor?
Vicki, let me I can speak to that. I did talk with this vendor to ask them specifically what local governmental entities they are doing business with. And Newcastle, Issaquah, Briar, College Place are four that they gave me. I did reach out to all four. I heard back from Don Palmer in Newcastle. Newcastle is a little different situation because they don't have business sales tax like we have. And so what they were primarily looking for was destination sales tax, as well as doing some work on the utility tax and the franchise fees. Their response was that they have not seen a significant amount of retrieved revenues as of now, and they've been working with Azivar for about 5 months. I also had a chance to catch up with Issaquah, Robert Hammond. Now, Robert did not have a lot to share because he just recently came from Snoqualmie. And so he's new to that position. I did not hear back from College Place or Briar.
That's all I have. Thanks, Council Chair.
Yeah. So great questions from committee members. And I had some questions, and I'll just do them super rapid fire. Like, you know, one, do we feel confident that this organization has the kind of institutional knowledge that whatever they find, let's say they find something, that they can easily match up with the state system?
I believe they're going to find the same challenge we did, to be honest. It is very difficult to work with Department of Revenue.
Okay. And then that's also kind of folded into, you know, ideally, and this is not necessarily disparaging, but it's an example of having passing something and not thinking about the implications of passing it, right? Which is why you have the mitigation funds for sales tax. But it could be significant because right now the mitigation funds are around $2 million or was at one time. And the question is there enough of kind of the expertise around the postal codes and other things that we're not then going to have to fight it out with DOR? And if so, I could see this is for providing the kind of data that you would have to supply to really for our city to make the case.
I'll let Tony answer that question because he's the one that's been working with this company.
Yeah. I'm just pausing because I'm thinking that part of how they get paid, the expectation is that they are able to collect these revenues. And so I do not believe they have institutional knowledge regarding the postal codes here in Tukwila. But the reason why I have hope with them is because of their geo-tracking technology. This is a tool that we do not have, the city of Tukwila employees do not have access to. And that is kind of what sets them apart. And so one, I have hope that they will be able to use this so that this tool actually works and they are able to identify misappropriated revenues. And from there, it is their responsibility to work with Department of Revenue to not only correct this going forward, but to claw the money back for 6 months. So if they are unsuccessful doing that, then one, we don't pay them, but we would then become aware of that information and we could then take that cause on, you know, over the long term and try and work with them over time to see how we come to a resolution there.
Thank you. And that just kind of had led to what I would say is one of the justifications, but I want to be clear that whatever this working agreement provides, it does provide the data that would be generated regardless of if we get the funds or not. Because I'm saying the upside of it is that we would have data and information documented using those geocodes that we don't have an ability to have now that we can have as documentation going forward. And it's not just revenues today, it's revenues in the future that will have the impact. So if we can think about now, but also think about the revenue that we collect in the future because of this process.
Yes, I acknowledge that and will ensure that we receive the data of what they find, whether they recover it or not. And so when I say I ensure that, we'll have to put that in the agreement. I think that's an excellent point.
All right. Well, I know this is information only. I want to thank Ms. Carlson and Mr. Cullerton for their transparency on this work. And we know overarching that this has been an existing problem that we need to tackle. And I'd like to think that we can tackle it, in a year where we can really try to recover some revenues. Oh, and by the way, Vicky, the your background makes you look like you have antlers, but I just wanted to just.
I've heard that before. I actually forgot about that. I did try and sit offside for that very reason.
It was just like centered, so it was like, oh, all right. I digress. So we are going to move on to item 1B, which is the 2021 General Fund Preliminary Results.
Okay, and I'm going to take this one also, and so I'll be presenting preliminary year-end general fund budget actuals. And these are numbers that are available to us as of December 31, 2022 for the period ending December 31, 2021. Now, this is going to be a quick report because these numbers are preliminary. So in short, all departments came in under budget and the general fund expenditures total 57.32 million through December 31st, 2021, which is 2.74 million less than the annual budget of 60 million. And so again, these numbers are preliminary because we plan to continue to accrue applicable expenditures back into 2021, as long as they were incurred in 2021, until we close the period, which is typically around March. And that is the end of this report.
To be clear, before we start with questions, we're assuming there will be more revenue for how many more months? Just one?
We are assuming that we will have sales tax revenues coming in till the end. There's a two-month lag. So
2 months.
January, February, as well as we will have some additional expenditures that were incurred but are coming in later.
Okay, great. I will start with Councilmember Kroller. Vicki, did you have something to add?
The only thing I wanted to say is, again, as Mr. Cullerton mentioned, these are preliminary numbers. We will be, as soon as we close the year, coming back to committee and the full council with a full report on the general fund, both revenues and expenditures, as well as reporting it on all of our other funds as well. We just wanted to at least get in front of you to show you the preliminary general fund results on the expenditure side, because it was good news. And so we wanted to share that just preliminarily.
Thanks for giving that context. So this is an early look. We'll be informed by more information, but get a sense of where the trend is going. Councilmember Crawler.
I have no questions. I think that's about as good as it gets, given the year we had.
Councilmember Dale Strange Johnson.
Does this budget reflect the amendments that we made to the budget last year? Because I remember being on finance committee and seeing the fire department going over budget, and then we made the amendment. So my question is, does this reflect the amendments that we made? And if so, will that be included in the next report?
Yes, it does include the amendments. All the amendments have been added to our system, and we will be reporting out on that when we get the full report in a couple months.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Even better. All right. Well, I don't have any questions. So moving on to item 1C. Again, thank you for being proactive as you help prepare the budget committee on, you know, what we're seeing and how we can also help provide context when it comes to going to full council. Looks like Mr. Bush is next.
Hello, Joel Bush, Chief Technology Officer. So I'm here to share TIS's contribution to the city's goals and objectives for last year. I'm really thankful. I have a great team. We have a staff of eight. I'm going to call them out each by name because they each do a great job. Roman's our GIS coordinator. Tammy's our database. Tammy Harris is our database coordinator. Will Reagan is in operations. He helps everyone with their IT needs from a help desk perspective, and he does council meetings. Eric Compton, he's in operations, and he does franchise agreements also. And Mike Markham, he is our operations supervisor. Val Trent, he's our network designer. And Marcus Chen, he's our system administrator. So you already read the report, so I'll just point out some highlights on it. Thank you for letting me mention everyone individually because they deserve it. They do great things. From an operations perspective, the team did well handling the increased workload. That, you know, it's coming down a little bit from people getting used from home, but they're still treating people with compassion and care as they're working through their problems, getting connected and attending their meetings and getting their work done. Will has just been with us for a year and he's doing a great job. I'm excited that he's here and the entire team has helped him get off on the right foot and get started in his professional IT career. We also had Alan Dunning. He joined us part-time to support an as-built project that we are continuing with. I'll get to that a little bit more. And then Ryan, he comes in when he has time. So he's a junior at UW now. I can't believe he's going to graduate in a year and a half. So that's kind of crazy. When I think about it, a year and a half, he's going to be done with UW with a computer science degree. That's a brilliant kid. Network services, our big thing last year was making sure we got rid of any technical debt within the city, and we're pretty much completely done. We got a new virtual server infrastructure that's now under vendor support, and we also upgraded our storage area network that it's faster and it more aligns to our network speed. So users should get a better experience when accessing on-premise tools like LaserFish now. Public safety, we now removed all legacy servers, so everything's on a virtual machine that's now supported. GIS, that was a big area of emphasis for Roman Lenzau. He finished his migration for our on-prem GIS to our online GIS system, and that is huge for him because he had to manage data in two systems for a few years. So now he can go into learning more about the online version of ArcGIS and start helping the city build out more tools. And one of those tools that he built out was using data and maps. You see that map there that showed internet need within the city. So that's the kind of information we want to be able to pull out of GIS. Also things like understanding what assets are in the city from a street, from a utility perspective. Having that information that's readily accessible. That's what the as-built project is. The first phase of that project was, we have a lot of paper around the city that needs to be digitized. And there are some online as-built that show how things are built in roads that are very hard to access. So what Alan's doing is he's putting them in LaserFish and then putting labels in our GIS system. So if someone's in the field, they can click on a map and like, oh, this is what's under this road. Any questions there? Should I keep going? And then as a team, primarily Tammy is supporting onboarding of a number of tools. Finance and Price, she's helping with that. Online permitting and Lucity, the Public Works Asset Management tool. Small Cell Wireless, Eric worked really closely with the legal team and Nora's team to make sure that went forward, and we had some municipal code updates. We updated our cloud PBX system and pretty much migrated from all old-fashioned analog lines and old fax lines. And then franchise agreements. We had two agreements last year with Extenet and Zayo, and we're hoping with those agreements we can continue to we get to a place where we have, if we win a grant eventually, that we can leverage that to build out more robust public Wi-Fi or a municipal LTE network to meet the needs of our stakeholders. Any questions for me?
We'll start with Councilmember Dallas James Johnson.
I don't have any questions so far, just praise and appreciation for you and your team. We all know how important technology has been during this COVID environment. I mean, we all have been meeting by Zoom since the pandemic, and it seems like everything has just been running flawlessly. Like, there are no huge issues that have come up, and I think your group is definitely behind that, making sure that these things go so well. I'll also say, in my work sphere for the courts, I've heard from like another court jurisdiction that says that they were just commenting how like Tukwila's technology support is like the best that they've that they've ever seen. And I, you know, in addition to addressing all of the increased need of technology during this time, your team has also been able to push forward the initiative to establish more enterprise agreements, which will help increase access for those in our community who need it the most. And so I really just appreciate all the work that your team is doing. I appreciate the leadership that you're bringing, and I, you know, I just have thanks and praise for all that you guys do.
Councilman Crowley.
So I appreciate you in almost every dimension. You know, I work in the field. I appreciate that. I'll say the words that many organizations I belong to say this, that we're small, but we're mighty. And Tukwila definitely is strong on the mighty side with a few in number. And then when you get hobbled by COVID, I think IT works just as well from home as they do in the office. So that's not a problem, but it's a problem all of a sudden when you have to serve everybody in the communities. That was a big adventure the previous year, but sustaining it and being reliable is a hallmark for this group. And I'm really impressed by the work that they do. I would agree that you've been consistent and you've always communicated when you're going to make changes, and they seem to always get better, and you're willing to try things, such as during my retreat last, you know, May. That was a big push in some ways, and I really, really appreciated that. I also know you're trying to make it better when we broadcast from Chambers, and I honestly kept a straight face, but I have no idea how you cobbled that together and did such a good job, and I was really impressed by that. But I will say that all IT can improve somewhere. And rather than me trying to come up with what that is, my annual question is, if you could improve somewhere, where would it be? And then I have a follow-up question.
So right now, the big thing, so technical debt, we're pretty much got that taken care of. The next big thing is security. And security is not going away. So the my plan I shared earlier, security, and that's going to be a big focus this year. So dual factor, multi-factor authentication. This is our Microsoft renewal year. So we need to figure out, do we pay more for Microsoft to do that, or do we go a different route? So we're exploring that right now, but it's security, and it is one of the biggest ones. And then
I would agree with that. It's a tough one, whether you are public or private.
Yeah. Then it's GIS, building out self-service tools, making data easily and readily accessible to decision makers. We're starting for analytics. That was also on my strategy, but I don't really have the staffing to do it right now. So we're exploring Power BI on Microsoft Online Services with PD now. But since we're going to have some on-prem services, I think we always will, because in the cloud, your price, how much you pay, is by how much your compute time. And some of these municipal applications, they're not really that efficient. So I think we'll always have like some on-prem component. But we do need to build out a data warehouse. We can start pulling data and metrics so people have that readily accessible and can use it to make decisions.
And we've all learned a SAN solution that you can roll over to back it up. So instead, so anyway, I just wanted you to have an opportunity to mention those things and help us as we do our budgets understand some of the pressures you're under. I'll talk with you offline. It's just as crazy in the profit world as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Where I work, we had our payroll system was taken over, and it was across the country. It was Kronos, if you know the software.
Okay, we did that too.
Yeah, it was crippling, and we were down to timesheets on Excel charts for almost a month. So, yeah. You know, these are important things we're talking about. So thank you for your response. Back to you, Chair.
Well, Thank you, Mr. Bush, for your presentation. You know, there's a couple things that stood out. I mean, I agree with my fellow committee members in expressing, you know, what a great job and, you know, having things change the way that we would like them to, and then being prepared for something that no one would, or being able to manage through a situation that nobody was prepared for. So one of the things I really like is an element of ArcGIS, right? They have a layer that looks at the CDC vulnerability index. And to me, that's, you can actually add a layer that then also looks at equity and how it shapes up in our population. And so an ArcGIS allows that as a filter to use it. And so there, you know, that could go to inform, you know, maybe investments in the future. The other thing about ArcGIS is just really getting that asset management piece for, you know, obviously for facilities, but as you mentioned, you know, like where the city has functions. And then you look like you want to say something, so be more than willing to jump in. And then, you know, a resident that is looking to do some type of construction, that's the beauty of having as-built actually digitized, because then you don't dig and hit something, or, you know, the plans say one thing, but the reality is it's somewhere else. And so that's also informative and benefit for the residents as they're looking to permit different jobs. And in the end, those things kind of end up, they could end up costing a lot of money for residents if it takes a long time to get the information. And then really the last thing I would just say, definitely encourage Power BI. I use Power BI all the time, this data visualization. It says something about how you're doing as an organization. You can, you know, my little motto is just being value-driven, data-informed, right? And that data will tell you, well, we're actually not doing what our values say that we are supposed to be doing. And so having that data visualization is, I can be a department director and say we're doing all this good jobs, and this data ain't saying the same thing. So I'm just hopeful that y'all can eventually move to Power BI and do that data visualization, because it's a way to be mindful of the strategic plan and all those other things. So with that, that's the end of my comments. All right. Oh, it looks like Councilmember Crawler has a comment or question.
So when you were trying to put up the problem, Joel, of going all Microsoft or carrying over some of our stuff, have you been thinking about moving to the dynamic platform? And where I'm at, we do absolutely everything. Everything is MS Microsoft. So it even means when I bring my laptop home, as long as I'm not accessing data, in my case, where a lot of money is. But if I'm just doing my normal stuff, I just do single sign-on. I just open up my laptop. I'm on my local Wi-Fi, and it's incredibly easy. So that is, there's something attractive about that, and it may be a matter of talking to Microsoft about scaling it to the size of our small but mighty city.
Yeah, so one of the things I'm exploring, so there are some services within Microsoft that's pretty neat when you have a hybrid work environment, to where we don't pay for this level of service, but you can have a laptop shipped to someone at their home, and then they turn it on, and then there's a serial number on the motherboard. It would recognize, I know who this is. I know what city this belongs to, what organization belongs to, and I know what persona this staff member has. So I'm going to install everything they need on their device without having to come in. So we're exploring those types of services, but it to get that type of service, you have to pay Microsoft more money.
Yeah. I get it. I've moved from public to private, so I have to understand the fact that there's revenues coming in that you don't have. Be interesting to pull in their reps, though, and start talking about, you know, making us more of a test city on new products. and pushing us in the cloud more and more. Because we're small, we can roll it out to several departments at once, but that's for offline and another time. But
yeah,
really good. And we even use Sensei for all of our projects through BI, Power BI. We're doing all of our dashboards through that, and we're doing all of our work through just MS Project online, and we actually link them all together. So I literally live in that world all day long and love it. So,
well, I need to learn more about Power BI. So maybe
okay, that's all I'll share. Thanks.
All right, we have come to the end of our agenda. Is there any miscellaneous? Pretty early in there. All right. Well, we have come to the conclusion of our Finance and Governance Committee. Thank you all.